Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. I am just thrilled to death with who I have in the and whom I have in studio. I have four county mayors in my area, county mayors that I work with a lot, especially since we started redistricting. And this, I guarantee, it will be entertaining. So stick around for this episode. I'm going to have them back next week as well. So you're going to get two episodes from four great guys who serve their counties tirelessly and have come a long way from where they've started. Have a couple that's on their second term. Have two that's first term. Yes, you considered second term.
Okay.
Because you started last term. Yeah. So who I have with me, I have Denny Wayne Robinson from Watt County, Jeff Mason from Smith County, Alan Foster from Cumberland County, and Randy Hetty from Jackson County. Good morning, guys.
Morning. And we will pay you for that intro after this is over with.
Well, no money necessary. Well, y'all do a great job. If you didn't do a great job, I wouldn't have you in here, especially all four of you at the same time, because y'all do get along and cut up, and you aggravate me absolutely to death when you're together, but I like it, and that's okay. So I appreciate what y'all do for your counties. Now let's cut to the serious stuff. Redistricting. That's hot topic. All of y'all are doing it. And so does anybody want to define that for me, or do y'all want me to define redistricting?
That's one vote for one person. It's supposed to be what the goal is, to make everybody have the equal vote and equal representation.
So you wouldn't – I guess you guys would believe it, but there's a lot of people out there that don't understand that. They think we're looking at people that can vote. That's the only people they're looking at. And I'm – no, one person, one vote, whether you're under 18 or over 18. One person, one vote, and that's what redistricting is. Basically, we're drawing the lines, redrawing the lines, reapportioning the lines to make sure that every county or every district has the same amount of people per commissioner. And that's the other confusion. And Mayor Foster will talk about that shortly as well, because y'all are looking at some different plans. But what happens is, from one census to the next, people either come in the county and it grows, or they leave the county and the population decreases. So by state law, we have to account for that. Mm-hmm. And you do not want one district being a lot bigger than another district, or one commissioner representing a lot more people than another commissioner. So
sounds simple, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds easy, but yeah.
Yeah. So normally we're done redistricting by this time of year, for those that haven't went through it. Denny Wayne, did you go through it as a commissioner?
I went through it as a commissioner. I did.
I did too.
Randy, you and I are actually.
I did too. Yeah.
So, of course, Jeff, this is your first go around. But I will say, Mayor Mason from Smith County has absolutely got a hold of it and kind of led the charge in his meetings too. So let's get an update. Sorry, they're doing some funny things here. Let's get an update. I'll start with Mayor Mason, because actually on Monday night, what did your commission do?
We passed our redistricting map. We also had a proposal to reduce our amount of commissioners from three per district to two, and that failed. Really good discussion. Heated, you know, not heated, but a good discussion, and it ultimately went down. Numbers on both sides were the argument was, but we got ours done. Like you said, this was my first one. It was kind of interesting to look at that, and I tell people this all the time about Smith County, and I'm sure these guys can say the same thing. That what makes us beautiful makes us difficult, because when you start talking about rivers, it's always been a thing with our county commission. We have three. We have three municipalities, so we never really want to break a municipality up to make it work, and then. The more we got our numbers, and the more I looked at them, and I don't know if these guys, I know Randy and I talked about it before, I don't know that I buy them because of the pandemic and the mistrust in the government nowadays. I don't know that I buy. I mean, it only showed me 300. Well, we've done 300 building permits in 2 years. So, I mean.
That was your increase?
Yeah.
When you're talking about the numbers, you're talking about the census numbers.
Yeah, census numbers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't buy them either. We've done more building permits than.
I've not seen that many people leave, and and it worked out well for. I mean, not well, but it worked out to where our largest district that grew and the smallest district that lost were right beside each other. So we just kind of made a little shift and some more other changes to make it work. Because going into this, I told the redistricting committee my number one goal was, and you can explain this better than I can. Was to be under that 10% deviation. Last time we got by with a 15.6 because of our geography. But as we all know, in the past two or three years, election laws, election right to vote, and ease of vote, and all that has been at the forefront. I didn't want to get sued.
Yeah, and let's explain the deviation side of it. That's another confusing thing for committee members, commissioners, and actually the public. the deviation side of it is it's not a state law to be under 10%, but the state comptroller's office will tell you that's the goal, because if you are sued, if there's a lawsuit from a citizen saying you didn't do redistricting the correct way and there's too many people in this district and not enough here and there's more deviation than 10%, then you might lose that lawsuit in court. So deviation is, let's take for example, I'm going to put you on the spot, Mary Foster.
Go for it.
Your low district is district six.
I guess it's six.
And your high district's nine, right?
Well, that's, but the six didn't lose much. So
the percentage-wise, you remember what the percentage-wise was?
Huge. It was massive.
Yeah, it's like 44%. Yeah, taking those two, 20-something percent in district nine, 20-something percent in district six. You got to add those together, and that puts you at 44. Yeah. Some people think, well, you got 20 here and you got 10 there. Well, it's only, it's the lowest population difference and the highest population difference get your total deviation. So,
everything
you were
they taught
high.
Us in elementary school is not correct.
Absolute value. I taught being that number. It's the absolute value.
You take a negative number and a positive number, and you come up with a positive number. Yep,
you're supposed to take a note on that, Ben. Yeah. I taught you that.
You did. That's absolute value. So,
but, in Cumberland County, it didn't work out in the nice, neat packets. We had our largest district of growth was 1,500 over the high side that we could have. And you just couldn't shift it around just in one nice, neat little package there. And that's what's slowing us down some, is figuring out how to handle that. And we've got three municipalities as well, and then a couple of large resort communities. And we're past the point of being able to keep them all in one district, which is something that gets stressful to the people in those areas. But we're just, our population just won't let it happen with Crossville. And really, it's Crossville, Tansy, and Fairfield Glade that just can't be in one district anymore.
Right. Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up, because the...
Well, and one thing I'll say, I know for us, we looked at really blowing it up and changing districts, but with the census numbers delayed, this is our first time ever having a primary. The Republican Party calls for a primary, so that makes us picking up papers in December. So you got to get that done. You got to get it done to the election commission in November. Well, as Ben showed us, we had a private act for school board, so it was going to have to get a private. So it was just anything that made it hard, we had it.
Yeah, and being your first time didn't really you had to catch up quick.
Yeah.
Danny Wayne, what's the status of your redistricting?
Well, ours is not too bad. I've got seven districts in White County. Five of those seven where we're tolerable. We had two districts, that one that was high, one that was low. Unfortunately, those two districts didn't touch. So to make those two districts work, we end up having to shift a little bit on everything. But we got it done, and we had a great committee there. You came by. We had a great learning session. That was our first meeting. Was just learning the laws, learning the rules, learning what the objective is, and then we had the second meeting. And of course, it passed out of committee. Now it still has to go to full court for passage. But listening to Jeff here talk, I think we may have had it easy compared to Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff's got and Mary Hetty does too, got a big thing going through their county called the Cumberland River.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that makes a difference.
It does.
Because you don't have bridges everywhere that you can just jump across the river and go vote. So the committee in White County, Denny Wayne, met twice, and y'all recommended a plan.
Yes.
Smith County's passed their plan through full commission. We're still going in Cumberland County.
Yeah, no comment. I don't know how many we're going to have.
No comment there. Yeah. Mayor Hetty, what about Jackson County?
Well, we've done real well, I think that we're going to be ready to present to full commission on the 25th. I really do. I believe that'll happen. It'll come out of committee here in the next week, and we'll be ready to go. It is, we have six districts, right? And one of the districts is everything north of the Cumberland River. So, and that's one district, and y'all, that's a huge landmass, but it's also the most remote part of our whole county. In other words, it's the furthest from Cookeville and Carthage, if you would, on the Smith County side. And so that is less populated than the other parts of the county. My growth's in the north, in the south, next to Putnam County. Mm-hmm. And so one of the problems we had was our smallest district. Two smallest districts, both of them touch one of the districts that were large, but the biggest most growth district, which is right the closest to 40. Neither one of the lower districts touched that district. So y'all know kind of know what that's like. And then so you got to do a lot of shifting. Yep. Some of it was easy. Our second district was low, and we was able to take from the third, which touches it, and fix it. But the first, it touches a third, and a third can only give so much away. So we ended up, what we feel like we're going to end up doing is moving from the fifth to the first and then from the fourth to the fifth. And so just doing a little shifting around and make it happen. Compared to Smith and Cumberland, though, we've got it made. I'm like Denny Wayne. I feel like I've cheated the system a little bit because I feel like it's not going to be that hard.
Well, the last time ours wasn't, it got that hard in Cumberland. So this year, it just, I guess, was the growth year in that area that really took off. And
well, it wouldn't be so hard if they weren't in this thing called census blocks, which really.
Census blocks. I was going to talk about that in a minute, too.
Yeah. We moved one area thinking we were good, and it threw the whole map out of balance for us. Yeah. And so we've got just a little bitty subdivision that makes an end just to make it work.
I tell you, I don't know about y'all, but there's been I've done it the first time in 2011 after 2010 census. And first thing I did, they elected me chairman of the redistricting committee. And so the first thing I did was where I grew up, some of my childhood, where my folks lived, I thought I had moved to the first. And I thought, this is my opportunity to get them on my voting precinct. You know, now you're probably not supposed to think that way, but that's the way this commissioner was thinking. And I told Ben, I'll never forget, I just met him. I said, click on that block right there. And it's not that big a block, but there's 400 people that live in that block.
Yeah.
We've got
all right. So, and so this year, I said, when me and Ben had worked on mine at a conference, we took a couple of hours out of downtime when the conference wasn't nothing going on.
Right.
And me and you sat and worked on it. Yeah. And I said, by the way, Ben, would you care to click on that block? Let me see what's changed. Nothing. It's 450-something people in it now. So, but then you'll have this little bitty block. Did y'all say nine people's in
nine
it?
People.
Nine people in it.
And the little blocks with zero in it. Why is there a census block with zero in it?
We had a bunch of them,
we're
too.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to explain what census blocks means in just a minute. You're listening to Local Matters. I have four county mayors with me, White County, Jackson County, Cumberland County, Smith County. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. Hope you're having a great morning. I'm obviously excited. I have White County Mayor Denny Wayne Robinson, Smith County Mayor Jeff Mason, Cumberland County Mayor Alan Foster, and Jackson County Mayor Randy Hetty. Yes, they're all in studio, and we got through the first segment without having any edits. Or timeouts.
Possibly one.
That's hilarious.
Possibly four. We got one to discuss, maybe. But, hey.
But it's been great so far. The topic so far has been redistricting, and that's happening in every county in the state of Tennessee right now due to the census finishing in 2020. We talked about how there was a delay because of COVID. Normally, we're finished with redistricting plans this time of year. We didn't get to start till September. So, basically, we're trying to wrap everybody up in the state of Tennessee by December. We talked about census blocks, and anyway, and I know you love census blocks, and because you asked me, I think it was you that asked me, and said, hey, why can't we split this up, or why can't we change that? Well, won't you define a census block for us?
Well, I'd love to. Can you tell me first who designed the census blocks?
Yeah, really.
Federal government.
Federal government. All right. Well, we have, of course, we have our districts, our commission districts that we divide these up in, and of course, the goal of this whole thing is to have the same amount of people in each district. So, you know, you'd think you would just move the lines here or there, wherever. Well, you have these little blocks called census blocks. And looking at the census blocks in White County, I cannot find any rhyme or reason to how they're made. Some of them may be a 20 or 30 square mile census block, and another one may be a 200 yards census block. I don't understand. But the point of this is, when you're moving your commission lines, you can't divide up a census block, so you have to go around those little blocks. Some of the blocks have zero people in them. I don't understand. Other blocks will have as many as 400 in them. Mm-hmm. So wow. I'm not understanding.
Well, then you got to explain it to your people why this weird shape is there, why the road was cut or something like that, and it's because of those census blocks. And that's a difficult discussion to make everybody explain or understand if you don't have 10 minutes with them.
Exactly. Yeah, because you can't, like I say, you can't divide those up, and then so it makes your line still having a straight line going down, per se, a road or something. That census block may go across a road or something. So you'd have somebody on one side of the street voting at another precinct, while somebody on another side voting. Yeah. And
happens a lot.
Yeah. Where I live before we moved where we live now, I was at the corner of three districts. Where I voted was one, my neighbor just down the road was one, and the one across the street was in. It was
did it make you mad before you became mayor? Did you?
It didn't really bother me at that time because I'm that guy that's going to vote wherever you just tell
wherever
me.
Wherever you tell me, me too. Yeah.
So, Alan, we were working, I was in your county Monday, and the census block we're talking about, there's this road, I think it was a subdivision, you might have to remind me. And there's like, well, on this side of the road, the subdivision, they're going here to vote, and they're in this district. But on the other side, let's just make that other side of the road. And I'm like, well, why didn't we? I was sitting there thinking to myself, why didn't we already do that? Well, guess what? I go to this road.
Click the census block.
And it's probably a mile long, whereas since some census blocks are city block long. This was a mile long. It went all the way down and cut up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why we didn't put that there. And so the committee didn't understand that, but now
– until you clicked on it.
Yeah, and I'm like, this whole thing's a census block. There's nothing we can do because I can't change the census block lines. I think somebody at Smith County got frustrated with me. Well, we know. I'm not going to mention
who
it was.
Was that Brookhaven?
It was Brookhaven.
Yeah, and then it's hard to explain that to them.
Yeah, it was Brookhaven. And so somebody in Smith County, we were talking – they're like, well, why can't you change that, Ben? Well, I can. I'm not the federal government. Right. So, but census blocks is what makes all this redistricting thing work. And
census blocks are used in a lot of things other than the population, too. I mean, it's
broadband.
I was trying not to say broadband.
That's a conversation for another day.
You knew I'd have to say it.
You'd have to say broadband.
But the key word was federal government.
Yeah.
Well, that's
amen.
True.
Amen.
So we have to use census blocks to move. There's also other guidelines we have to follow when you're doing redistricting. And, of course, I keep saying I'm helping you all do this. Now, I'm not making decisions for you all. I think there was some confusion in Cumberland County with one of your committee members. She thought I was supposed to have an answer to everything. I have no idea every road of Cumberland County. I don't know the geographical makeup of that. I'm just pointing on a census block, clicking on it, and moving it to where y'all tell me to.
That's what we talked about yesterday. You just click and drag.
Yeah, click and drag. But she was frustrated with me.
He's kind of expensive just to click and drag, isn't he? I'm just saying.
I'm not that expensive. But she was frustrated. And so, but there's other regulations, and this happened in White County in the committee meeting. And so Denny Wayne, there's one of those things we're called gerrymandering. And we can't violate that law. So what was the instance in White County that could have been an issue with gerrymandering?
Well, gerrymandering is basically you can't divide up a minority block. The intent of that law is so that you don't dilute the minority's vote for representation within the county or federal government or anything, state government, but we're talking county government. So we had a census block that was divided. We had a minority group that had two census blocks in it. And of course, the numbers that we had, the logical, sensible thing was one click and drag, as it says that we've been referring to, and that pretty much made everything right. But I said, well, in the meeting, I said we can't do that. And of course, the committee was like, wow, that makes everything perfect. And so then we had to kind of go through and explain what gerrymandering was and why we couldn't do that. Of course, that's another obstacle that we had to kind of overcome. But also you got the obstacle of travel time to vote, which is not per se a law, but you don't want to make somebody drive 20, 25 miles to vote. So you're trying to get your minority population location, you got to keep up your census group, you got to keep up your voting precincts, and then plus you got the end result is to make everybody equal representation. So it,
And you really don't want them to pass the precinct.
You don't want to
But that happens.
That's another tough one. Well, my biggest obstacle in Jackson County, Ben, was at the meeting when we first done it. To make this work for us, we're going to lengthen somebody's drive time to a voting precinct. I mean, we're going to change it from being a 5 to 8 minute ride to a 25 minute ride one way. And that's going to happen. And there's no way I don't feel like that we can get around doing that. You remember the census block out near Shepherdsville Road, and we're going to move them to the 5th from the 4th to make all this work. And there is no way their voting precinct is 8 minutes down the road. And I'm probably being long. It's probably more like 4 to 5. And then I'm going to move them to Granville.
Wow.
That's 30 minutes.
Do you have 25. Anybody that passes a different precinct to get to theirs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
several. Well, and that's a problem with, and I don't know about you guys, a rural area is, okay, we're at 8 districts. To make it work, we need to go to 9 or 10. Well, guess what? If you add 2 districts, you got to find 2 more polling places. And
places are hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't put it in somebody's house.
No, you can't.
You know,
it's got to be a building of some sort.
You know, well, a fire hall. Well, a fire hall is not always air conditioned and
used to be schools, and we don't do them in schools anymore, do y'all?
Yes, we do.
We have one or two.
Yeah, we've got one.
But those are hard to find, churches, things like that. Mm-hmm. It is.
And I'll give you credit again, Danny Wayne, on the gerrymandering. See, that's another thing. I don't know your demographic makeup in the areas of your county. And if
how did you catch it?
He was in the room. Danny Wayne was in the room. Said, "Guys, you basically that's an area of the county that has a minority group." He said, "You can't do that." And they're like, "Oh," and they didn't do it. They weren't trying to do anything intentional at all. The committee was just trying to make the numbers work. But Danny Wayne's like, "Hey guys, this is what we got to." And I'm like, "Yeah, you can't break gerrymandering," and we changed it back. So
I think we need to give him Danny Wayne. An attaboy.
good time to take a break is an attaboy to Denny Wayne. And we come back, we got
checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail. We'll talk a little bit more about redistricting and we may get through it, but remember, I'm going to have him back next week. So a lot more to talk about here on Local Matters. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. Ben Rogers on Local Matters with Randy Hetty from Jackson County, Alan Foster from Cumberland County, Jeff Mason from Smith County, and Denny Wayne Robinson from White County. All of them county mayors, executives, depending on what your commission decide to call you. I know they probably call you some other stuff at some point in time. You know, speaking of that, Mayor Foster, on Monday, we're in this.
Well, you may know something I don't know.
No, I'm giving you some props. Okay. We're in the committee meeting, and as soon as you walk in the door, you have a commissioner yelling at you because you didn't send an email to her. And you did send the email to her, and you handled it very well. I'm going to let people know.
She was being nice.
Okay, opinion. Yeah. But, you know, you handled it very well, and you said, well, let me look. Instead of saying, I did. Let me look. Yep, I sent this email. Did you get it? And, you know, she did not. So what did you do? You sent it to her again. Yeah. So,
well, I'll tell you what, though. Part of this job is the relationships with your commissioners.
That's correct. Sure.
And, you know, we all, every single one of us, all 18, and I get along well. You know, we've got some that I disagree with more times than others, but they're all good people, even if they don't vote how I would vote if I was still a commissioner. And so, you know, I make it a point to have good relationships with them and to be able to talk with them all and things like that help. And I knew she knows me well enough to know that I wouldn't have accidentally just left her off. So she was checking. And so it was a biggie. It was that one you sent me with, it was like a 13 meg file. And actually I had to send it to her twice today, I think, if it's the same one you're thinking of, before she got it. And, but I don't know. It helps to be familiar with people, not just on that, but in other levels, you know. And
that's a big part of the job.
It is
learning people and how to communicate with them, and you handled it well. But before we leave redistricting, timeline-wise, Mayor Hetty, you think you'll get one passed, a plan, in October or November?
Yeah, I think I'll have it done by October the 25th to send it to the Election Commission to do their thing.
Do you see any challenges right now with the plan?
I don't. I really don't. I mean, I think we'll have some discussion. There'll be some discussion over how far we're going to make people to drive. I shared that in the last segment. But we're going to lengthen some people's drive times. But, guys, our hands are tied in based on census blocks and polling positions and places. I mean, there's only so much we can do.
Yeah.
And I think that my committee's ready to move forward. I really do.
Do you see, speaking of polling places, do you see adding any polling places or taking away any polling places through this?
I don't. I don't at this time. I the potential's there, but I don't foresee that. But I mean, you know, that's not our decision, really.
No, that's what I told them last night.
We pass and we send that to our election commission, and they're going to make that decision. I do see if the trend continues 10 years from now, they're going to have to move a polling position. They're going to have to. They're going to have to bring one, more out to the south to help the 5th district. That's just going to have to happen. But all the other polling precincts seem to work. You know, I was talking about the 6th earlier, and we can talk about distance, but I have two polling precincts in the 6th, and both of those are across the river, but they're just a couple miles across the river. People have to drive a long way to vote to them.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do. But they've gotten used to it.
That's part of being rural.
It is.
And we're all rural here.
Every one of us
are rural.
And early voting, I'm going to be honest, I don't know how everybody's early voting in, but that's where we have 1,500 people that'll early vote, and that'll be the people who don't want to drive.
We get about half.
Yeah, we're roughly half.
We were, sometimes but it seemed like the last couple elections, that's trended to where we're probably 70-30, maybe 65-35.
Wow, that's a big difference.
Early?
It is.
Early?
Yeah.
Ours went up, it seems like, too. We got a good, strong early one.
Were you saying 65 early, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Where did that early vote at?
In the previous, it was at the Turner Building where our offices are. But last time we had the Turner Building and in Gornsville City Hall or Gornsville Library or Civic Center. So you had two. So that really helped us. And that's what...
How'd you divide those out? Did you just pick one of them, or
anybody can vote anywhere? I mean, because they when you hand that, they
have some software to handle that. Yeah.
See, and that was something you may know more about. Something that intrigued me was these voting centers that they've talked about. I think that would be something good for rural counties because if you get one central location and you do all your voting there, it kind of alleviates all that problem. So with that moving that one district we had last night, it did create a more of a drive for them, but. We're going to really, and we asked our election commission, hey, you either need to look at a precinct or let's extend early voting hours to as much as we can. And, there's always a cost to that, but at that point in time, money doesn't really matter because you need to do what's right for your people.
Well, next week when we talk about ARPA money, maybe you can fund a voting center.
There was a pilot, I think they said there were some counties that are doing pilot programs on that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. We weren't able to get into that.
But doesn't state law dictate your length of your early voting, though?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
So I don't know, but you can. I think you can minimize the hours. You can't go over the max. I think
you can't go. Yeah. So what I said, so we couldn't do 7 to 7 5 days a week for 2 weeks.
You probably could.
I believe you can.
You 7-7.
What most counties do, guys. I don't know.
How many of you are familiar with Saturday?
You have to be open on Saturday.
You have to be open so much. You don't have to be open all day. Right. You can be open 4 hours. Some counties do 2 hours.
We do 8 to 12.
Yeah. And some people only do 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. From conversations I've had with some of the mayors other than us, how we go to these conferences. And my understanding is, and also talking to my AOE, the counties do it. Everybody does it different, which is odd,
I think what we're seeing is a shift in our population generations. The older generations, and I used to be that guy that voted, I'm going to vote on election day because that's what I do. And I think you're seeing a shift from that because the younger generation, they don't care. You got to get them to vote, number one. And then when they do vote, they want it easy and simple and be able to,
on their schedule.
That's right.
Hey, I'm like that.
I am too. I used to be that guy. Now I'm like, somebody said last night, I want to vote the first day. That way, if I die, my vote's counting.
Yeah. What a morbid thought. Come on. So, Mayor Foster, Cumberland County, what kind of time frame are you thinking on
so
the redistricting plan?
I believe we'll make it in December or the November meeting. I think we shouldn't have a problem with that. There are issues like we talked about. And there's only so many solutions to those issues. So you can only talk about them so much before you pick an option and go with it. So I'm thinking one or two more meetings is likely when it'll wrap up in the committee and then send it to the full commission.
Well, and so you have primaries in Cumberland County.
Yeah.
And the importance
just
of getting...
Just for countywide.
Right. But so no commissioners.
Correct.
Okay, well, that helps you out.
Yeah, so we're still good.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go longer if we wanted to, but why?
Yeah. What I was going to say, for those counties that have primaries for commissioners... If lines are moving, you got to get that plan approved, commission plan approved, so they can know where they're going to pick up their petition to run in. Because the commissioner may be moved, or somebody new that's running, their line may be moved, or they're in another district. So you got to have it done in time. So they say January 1 is the drop deadline, but
it's December 15th.
Yeah, basically.
For us, because we did, they call for commissioners. Yeah, as a
that's right.
Hey, may I ask a question? Can I ask the question?
Absolutely. You, right. You can run the whole thing.
How many did any of y'all move commissioners?
No.
Okay.
That's, so we got real close.
That's the issue that you run into, because I know that in my 20, when I did it 2011 as a freshman commissioner, the thing to remember, school board members are not on that program.
Right.
And we didn't move. We took a lot of effort to make sure not to move commissioners. And I'll be honest with you, my easiest in this is moving a commissioner. And it's really cool. Our first meeting, Ben was there. This commissioner was there. He's on my redistrict. He looked and he said, "Hey, if you need to move me, move me."
Yeah, he's a team player.
I'll be all right. Team player. He didn't care. But I wouldn't do that. But in the first one, we moved a school board member and didn't know it. We passed it in full commission. And we, you know, we had moved a school board member from one district to the other. And we found out at the next commission meeting when that school board member showed up and asked for permission. You know, you have to pass it in your commission to let them continue to fulfill their term. And of course, we did. But I felt horrible, you know, because we didn't know. And so a lot of people don't know that. You know, you can move them.
It's not the software where school board members are. Now, I had a commissioner call me, not from one of y'all's counties, and just get pretty upset saying, "You cannot move commissioners out of the current district." I said, "Yeah, you can." And like, "Well, how does that work? If you move them out, do they get to serve the rest of the term?" I said, "They get to serve the rest of the term no matter what, as long as they don't die or move out of the district." So basically, there's education is good for people that don't understand redistricting.
I think one of our plans that are left has the potential. I don't know that it will. I think it probably will. Would move at least one commissioner.
Well, one of the plans that was requested for me to work on was going to move a lot of commissioners out. And when we told her that, she's like, "Well, don't do that then. Don't do that plan. I don't want to be responsible for moving anybody out of their district." Mm-hmm. So, Mayor Mason, you're done. Denny Wayne, it's recommended and going to be passed in November, we hope, right?
No, it's going to be passed Monday.
Oh, October. I'm sorry.
We've got it on the agenda for this coming Monday.
Okay. Well, good. Okay. Good deal. So only got a little bit of time left, but the redistricting process, y'all been great to work with. I'll say everybody here has been very involved with communicating with your committee and letting them know and helping me educate them and informing them about the process. You know, sometimes mayors just come sit back and say, "It's not my monkey, not my circus."
Do you see that?
Sometimes you do. And the other thing,
I name names on that.
Absolutely not.
Give us one. Come on.
Other thing, that I will brag on y'all, all of you's involved your administrative elections and you have to, because they're the ones that know. Precincts are on the map, but they know who's going where, and they can give you ideas about passing. And I'll say this. Have y'all seen Cumberland County's Election Commission office? Oh, my goodness. It's a Taj Mahal. Y'all done a good job there.
Thank you.
I don't know if that was county commission idea. I don't know if that's what
they've been looking
to do.
For.
Lead it up to Foster. It always happens. It does every time.
We've been looking for a place for her for a while. They've had three or four places. They're storing equipment, and this gets them all under one roof. And it's worked out well.
It's fabulous. You be proud of that, because
we're pleased.
And that's where early voting is happening too, right?
Yes.
And there's plenty of room.
We're trying to get. I've got some stuff for the commission. I want to get some paving done out there to clean it up a little bit more and be ready to roll.
Okay. So, good thing, folks. I have these four back with me next week. A lot more to talk about with them. Hope everybody has a great weekend. I've enjoyed this. A lot of talk. I know it was mainly the redistricting, but I talk to my friends and family every day. They don't understand it. So I spend a lot of time talking to them. So hopefully this episode will help them. Go Vols tomorrow against Ole Miss. Hope it's a big win. And then I hope everybody has
a
good week.
To be there.
Yeah, I'm going, so I'll see you there.
Lucky no.
Everybody smile at one another, be kind to one another. I promise you, it's a lot easier.
We'll see you in 10 years.
Oh, boy.
Ain't that the last time you came?
All right. Maybe we won't have Mayor Mason back next week. It will be
editing.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Hope everybody has a great weekend.